Ozempic. You get Ozempic. You get Ozempic.
Woo! What a
Like the
giveaway.
audience.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to the Upbeat Dietitian special where everyone gets Ozempic.
Ozempic.
Auto parts.
Auto parts. I love all the like TikTok Ozempic mashups that I hear, like all the songs. Makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you haven't guessed, today is about Oprah and Ozempic. If you have not heard the news, Oprah has released a weight loss special where she has lots of guests who take various weight loss medications, struggle with their weight, and the whole point is just to release the shame around the disease of overweight and obesity, according to Oprah and her guests. So we will be talking about about that today. A few quick housekeeping things that'll kick us off. Number one, I have been under the weather, so I'm sorry if I sound very nasally. Actually, no, I'm not apologizing. We don't apologize for things that we don't need to apologize for. I'm letting you know my voice sounds weird. Get over it. Okay. We
Yeah.
also are on YouTube if you want to watch us. Subscribe over there for more video content, of course. And then if you want to hear our bonus content every single week, you can join our Beat Deets bonus section and be a Tud Bud over there. Only $2.99 a month to support this podcast so we can keep punishing ourselves through specials like this Oprah one that we had to watch.
Yes. Do all those things.
Yeah.
But let's get right into it. This is going to be a long episode. Or right, grab some snacks,
Our
grab a
outline,
drink.
it goes on for
And
miles.
literally, we haven't had an outline this long in a long time. So, right off the bat, let's go into the name of this special, available on Hulu. I think it's only on Hulu that I know
I
of.
think so, but I was wondering that too, actually.
But we both watched it on Hulu, and it's called an Oprah special, Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. I want to say one note. I was kind of hoping it would be three words that would like
That
rhyme,
would rhyme.
like shame, blame, and the weight loss game.
Ooh,
I
that's
feel like
good.
that's much better than the weight loss revolution.
That's so
That's
good.
too many words. So
Once
I will be
again,
renaming it.
we should be hired as marketing
We
people
should
once again.
be padding that right now if Oprah with Oprah's name. So if she tries to change it, we thought of it first. But it's essentially labeled as like the description of the special is Oprah Winfrey hosts a sit-down conversation with the country's leading medical experts and everyday people around the radical impact of prescription weight loss medications. There is a heavy trigger warning. We will be talking about eating disorders, disordered eating and intentional weight loss throughout this entire thing. So if those are subjects that could be triggering, we highly recommend not listening because
Yeah.
it's
And also, they don't give trigger warnings, of course, for the Oprah special,
nope.
but I don't recommend watching it unless you have to,
I
like
don't
us.
either. We
There's no need.
no. You could just listen to this podcast and you'll get everything you
Yeah.
need out of it.
Exactly.
So let's get into it. We're going to kind of take you through different parts, the different play-by-play, what happens, and kind of our initial thoughts. So Oprah opens up in her little chair with her the screen behind her, Oprah, or the shame, blame, and the weight loss game being the back with Revolution. And she has her little audience. And in her kind of intro, she starts talking about how she wants to promote body acceptance, but also get rid of the shame around wanting to or not to lose weight. Interesting opener, given what
This is the
we're
vibes that
talking
we were giving off in our first Haze episode. It's like, where do you stand exactly on this take of weight as a
everywhere.
disease?
We support everything while also promoting harmful behavior.
Exactly. Because it benefits me to promote that harmful behavior. I make money off of this as
Yes.
Oprah.
Yes. And Oprah even like also mentions like talking about her own personal history of like the body shaming she went through and her history of intentional weight loss, and specifically talked about, like, and even like showed clips of like what the media was depicting about her. And it, like, for everything we're about to say about Oprah, the way the media treated her was horrendous.
Yeah.
She did not deserve that. No one deserves that type of, like, I was gonna say behavior. Like, no one deserves to be treated that way. Like, the media was completely in the wrong. That being said,
we've got a lot of thoughts.
We, right off the bat, we're going to be promoting this episode. We have a episode about the history of obesity as an OD, the history of obesity as a disease. We're going to link it in the show notes. So after this, go listen to that, because there's a lot that's talked about that. We go a lot more in depth in that episode.
Yeah, we'll kind of touch on a few things today about, like, pathologizing body weight, but we do go a lot more in detail in the episode. And we actually are going to link quite a few episodes today that we'll kind of mention throughout this episode today. So we'll have quite a few episodes for you to binge after this one if you just want to keep hearing more of us talk about the issues with weight-centric care.
Yeah. So our first guest, her name is Amy. My first note was, she's from Naperville, T.
Neighbors.
Oh my gosh. People that don't know, Naperville is a suburb of Chicago. You probably know Naperville because it's a very well-off suburb.
I feel like everyone knows about Naperville, which is crazy to me because, like, no one really knows about Fort Wayne, Indiana, but I feel like it's kind of the equivalent, like, Indiana's version. It's, like, version.
Huge, yeah. Like, yeah. In terms of, like, ranking of population.
Yeah.
Like, Fort Wayne's big.
Fort Wayne's, like, huge.
Everyone knows Naperville.
It's kind of funny.
For whatever reason. Oh, but essentially, Amy is coming on as a guest who, she is someone who has received weight loss medications as part of her care plan.
Mounjaro, she talks, right? A lot.
I think so. Yes. I will note, as I was typing things, I don't ever type these medications. So I was like, so I don't know how to spell this.
Very, I was laughing when I saw you spell Mounjaro. I was like, of course she doesn't know how to spell that.
Literally just how I sounded out. But Amy kind of talks about her history of, like, how she was, like, fat shamed at age 5 by other kids. And I also want to note, like, kids are nasty. Also, kids learn this behavior from their parents. So shame on the parents for perpetuating that. Also, shame on diet culture for perpetuating that to the parents, for perpetuating that to the children.
Generational then taking it out body on shaming. 5.
And now Amy's a victim of it. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Amy also talks about how her brain and her body were starting to, like, fight against her from, like, age 12 all the way through her 30s. And she relied heavily on food for comfort.
Which is such a common story. Like, I hear this on a daily basis.
Yeah. And especially, like, that young of an age, like, yes, that mm-hmm. is unfortunately not uncommon.
It's not uncommon. Yeah.
And then Amy talks about how, like, the biggest turning point in her life was when, unfortunately, her dad died during COVID. And she completely turned to food as a coping mechanism. Like, this incredibly traumatic event, you're going to develop some type of coping mechanism for it, especially if, like, you've been doing that for decades. It makes sense.
And if you think about, like, the diet mentality of it all too, I'm sure she has been told that she should be eating less. And so compound the emotions already being there, being elevated along with likely restricting in some fashion, it makes sense that food would be the kryptonite.
Yes. So then we kind of get to the Mounjaro.
The solution to all of this. Yes.
She started taking, it was recommended to her by some doctor. They're the ones that prescribe it.
Some Napervillian MD, probably.
Yeah. And she was talking about how after she lost all this weight from starting Mounjaro, all of her labs became normal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is interesting to me. I wanted to know. It was like a quote unquote non-scale victory in my mind, because like we put so much emphasis on like things that aren't the scale, and we talk about labs all the time. So it was very interesting to me that she specifically mentioned her labs right off the bat got better. Because I'm like, oh, I feel like someone who's working with her knows non-scale victories. Like right. Someone is saying something along those lines. But I don't remember. I made a note. I was like, I don't hear her talk about any lifestyle changes. If like the only intervention was Mounjaro, I didn't remember any other mention besides she started Mounjaro, she lost weight, labs went into range.
Yeah, I don't remember her mentioning any other changes either, but there are future guests who mention things like these meds only work with lifestyle changes. Like, of course. And that's why we can't even know for sure if these medications are the reason that the weight was lost or that labs improved. Like, it's highly unlikely that she's taking the medication and nothing else changed and that she lost weight that way or that her labs improved that way. It's just so tricky. And I guess I should have led with this earlier because I made a post recently about injectables on TikTok, as I have for the last few years. And whenever I do, I get lots of varying comments, as I'm sure we'll get in response to this episode today. What I commented recently on my response to someone that was in my messages, I'm not anti-medication. Like, they were a little bit upset with me about how it seemed like I was saying I'm anti anyone using meds for their health ever. That's not the case. What I don't love is meds becoming trendy, which is what's happening here. Meds should not be a trend. Bodies should not be a trend. And I also don't love these medications being used for disordered eating and eating disorders to treat those, which Amy, the guest here on Oprah's show, mentioned about how food was her friend. She really enjoys eating food. It's an emotional thing for her. And so many people like Amy also feel like taking something like Mounjaro, Ozempic is what helps them defriend food almost. They no longer have that so-called food chatter, thinking about food all the time, which feels like a win if it's like really consuming your thoughts all the time. You're always thinking about food. You can't get anything else done. It likely feels like a huge breath of fresh air to take Mounjaro, Ozempic, whatever it is, and no longer have that. The biggest concern I see is the sustainability of it, of course. Like, once you stop taking the Mounjaro, Ozempic, Wegovy, whatever, those thoughts are likely going to come back unless you've healed that relationship with food. And a lot of times too, that food chatter, when you're always thinking about food, it's so often a result of food restriction. And these appetite suppressing injectables are likely going to lead to you eating even less, further suppressing what you're eating. And so once again, the sustainability of it just isn't quite there. So my whole point of saying all this once again is just not anti-medication or anti-people using medications. I think I'm more so against the providers who are using these in patients who they aren't even screening for disordered eating or eating disorders. That's what I have a problem with.
And also like the accessibility of the medications when a lot of these are not even originally for weight loss. Like,
true.
Ozempic's for diabetes management. But also like when, I'm really glad you said a social media trend, because Oprah even brings up multiple times how this became TikTok. Popular on TikTok.
Yes.
And I'm like, health advice should not be gaining traction. Like, we utilize social media to like provide education. Like, we should not be getting medication recommendations from a social media app.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to think about. And like, they're aware of it because Oprah brings it up multiple times. She name drops TikTok.
Which feels weird coming from her. Yeah.
I'm like, how do you, you're not allowed to know about that. You're too old for that. But one of the biggest things that she also talks about, Amy talks about, is the treatment in a smaller body versus a larger body.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before on the podcast, like the internalized fat phobia, the thin privilege, And Amy, just like her anecdotal like experience, proves that like she was treated better. People were more friendly to her when her body was smaller. And like, of course you want to be. And like, we've also, I feel like first 60 episodes, we weren't good about this. Now we're much better. We're like, we're not going to shame you for wanting to lose weight, because normally like people treat you better. Like, yeah, I'd want to be treated better. Of course. That makes complete sense that you want people to like, you want to feel accepted. You want people to be nice to you. That's like a crazy, like you think that's a crazy concept, but unfortunately in this world, it is.
Life is easier if you look like us. Like it really is. If your body is smaller, it's easier in so many ways.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it makes total sense that you'd want to pursue that, mm-hmm. that you would have a desire to get to a place where people are going to be nicer to you. You're going to fit into a plane seat, no problem. Clothes are going to be easier for you to access and find. It makes so much sense. And so once again, like we said this a million times this season, like we're learning that the problem is not the dieter. It's this industry, this multi-billion dollar industry that just like sucks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She also mentions that people are nicer to her children now too, which we'll get to a child guest in a minute here. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just crazy. And that she didn't even want to go to the doctor to begin with because she felt ashamed. We've mentioned that before, like how weight stigma leads to people not even wanting to go get medical care because so many providers just tell them, oh, you have a cough. Why don't you go lose weight? That'll fix the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, like all the things that she was saying, we've heard a million times, people just like her. And that's the issue. Like the issue is not Amy's body size. The issue is these big issues like weight-centric care and, you know, these pharmaceutical companies using these meds for weight loss and not being able to supply enough for those who actually need them for diabetes or anything else. Amy's body's not the problem, but she feels like it is because she's been told over and over again that it is. Okay. Going on to our next guest, I was having war flashbacks listening to him.
I wanted to fight this person.
So next we've got from the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. W. Scotch Bush. What a name. Is he a bourbon? Like,
I know. I don't know if I spelled that right.
It's like a bourbon flavored baked bean is what that makes me think of. Have you seen they have Dr. Pepper baked beans?
No.
Yeah, they're like in a can. I haven't tried them, but I'm very intrigued. Mm. Let's be honest. I'll buy them and I'll let you guys know.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. Because I'm not gonna try that.
So our friend Dr. Butch here, he is, I'm assuming, I don't think we wrote this down, but I'm pretty sure he's board certified in like weight medicine or something, whatever the certification is.
He's a Cleveland Clinic guy.
Exactly. And he talks a bit about obesity as a disease, how weight works. And it was funny because we keep saying this season too, but he was bringing up like phrases like set point weight and yo-yo dieting and like weight regain. Like these people, like it's right in front of them. They know that weight loss is so hard to maintain. They even understand why. Like he's an obesity scientist, you know, like they understand what's happening here, but they still are just like pushing and fighting the good fight, as they say, to work against our body, even though there's so many built-in things making it so we can't lose the weight.
It was
right in front of their faces.
It was giving Golo.
Literally.
Giving Golo energy, where they're saying all these things we've been saying, but then still recommending the thing that is not helping. And there's like a history of not helping.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was funny when he mentioned an analogy that I use all the time. When you like hold your breath while you're swimming, when you come up from the water, you're going to be gasping for air. Like we always talk about with food, intuitive eating, whatever. When you don't eat enough, when you finally have access to food, you're likely going to do binge type eating. Same idea. So like they get it. It's right there. He clearly like has that analogy that we also use in the anti-diet world, where if you're not eating enough, you're not giving your body what it needs, you're going to inhale and gasp for breath once you finally have access to it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's,
yeah. I just saw something I'm going to talk about at the end, where like I feel like the true problem just is not getting addressed. It's like a temporary solution.
Exactly.
Just a different, it's not a diet this time. It's a prescribed medication, mm-hmm. even more inaccessible than a diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Oprah puts in her two cents and
okay. I like almost lost my mind at this point.
Tell them what she said.
She compares alcoholism to obesity. Alcoholism is a very serious mental disorder. Obesity, like listen to our obesity episode. You can't be addicted to something you need to survive. You don't need alcohol to survive. You need food. You will die if you don't eat.
Yeah.
To compare, I was like blown away. Like on my, in my mind, this is like comparing like an opioid addict to like a fat person.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. And then she says later, like, it's wrong to shame people with obesity, but compares them to being alcohol. Like, you're just as bad as an alcoholic.
Like, no, what's happening here is your body is telling you it's not getting what it needs. It's a totally different psychochemical reaction than it is with alcohol. Like, that's like a chemical compound that your body is getting addicted to. This is just, you're not giving your body what it needs. And so it's saying, hey, I need more of this. And so if you don't give it to me, I'm going to make your weight go up. So that way, if I don't get it again in the future, I have more weight because I need to use that for energy. Like, it's a totally different physiological phenomenon happening here. It's not the same thing. But yeah, she says this over and over. She's like, it's so wrong to shame people with obesity. But if you're obese, make sure you're trying to lose weight, though, and take some Ozempic.
Yeah. You will be treated better and you will be healthier.
Like,
based off of all the people I'm bringing on. Exactly. That is the point that is getting portrayed.
Like, what I put here is, how does pathologizing all larger bodies help release the shame, judgment, and stigma? Like, no, you're telling people who are in larger bodies their body is bad and wrong and a disease.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shameful part of this, not their body existing as it is. It's, again, it's like, it's right there.
I know.
Why don't they see it?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
And then once again, Dr. Bush here, whatever his name is, he once again is like pulling the anti-diet language out. And he's like, people in larger bodies who have this disease of obesity are always told to just eat less, but that doesn't work. Like, yeah, doc, that's what we've been saying the whole time, but you're giving them a medication where they're going to be eating even less than they already are.
Yeah. And then he even ties like the, like, we don't know everyone's situation. And I'm like, we don't. So why are we? So you can't say your life will be better if you take this medication and lose weight.
Yeah. It's insane.
I want you to say this next part, because when I read your note, my mind was like
wait. So then he says, he tries to like compare it to those in thinner bodies. And he's like, people in larger bodies have this food chatter. They're always thinking about food. If you're in a thin body, you just do not have that. You don't have this problem. That is so untrue.
People of all sizes are
going to have this feeling of food addiction, and like they're always thinking about food. What do you think an eating disorder is? Like,
I was going to say, has he never heard of an eating disorder?
Like, your brain's thinking about food all the time. No matter if you are 100 pounds or 300 pounds, like, you're always thinking about food if you have a certain eating disorder.
That part was crazy to me. I'm like, now we're like Like, there's a stereotype of, like, all people with eating disorders super thin. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like we're going, like, a different direction with, like, all the people who live in larger bodies. They can't sit up thinking about food. And all the, like, thin people, they don't have any thoughts about food. Like, do you not have any concept of mental health?
This is the same group of people who don't believe in atypical anorexia. Atypical, you know, using the words that is currently being used in that world. But, like, you're telling me that anorexia only exists in thin people, but yet at the same time, people in larger bodies have this food chatter, which could easily be classified as an eating disorder. Which is it? Which is it, Doc?
It's so, the whole time, it was like, what is happening?
I'm telling you, war flashbacks. I was like, I've been here. I've been here before. I know this guy.
Oh, man. Okay, quick side note before we get to our next doctor. They're talking about GLP-1s, which is like another form of like medication for weight management. We have an episode coming up for the company Ro. I don't even know how you say it. I haven't done any research, so I could be completely butchering that. But they have a ton of Hulu ads. That's all I know. And I'm sick of seeing them. So we'll be talking a little bit more specifically about that medication, the mechanism of it, just because they like to talk about it a lot. But let's talk about our next guest.
Another doc.
Dr. Velasquez. I think another obesity specialist.
Yeah. She's been there the whole time. Like, she was sitting with Dr. Butch or whatever his name is. And
yeah,
then she kind of gets her own little, I guess, Q&A with Oprah here.
Yeah.
She starts talking about, I can't quite remember. She,
I think, was Oprah talking, honestly starts talking before she's up there.
That's true. That's Oprah. I don't know. She really inserted herself as like an expert on the disease of obesity.
Yes.
And I know she's been through so much with like her history of dieting and all of that. I don't know. She really was giving know-it-all.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also tough because, like, that's all she knows. Like I have some, I'm going to give her some leeway because she's not a healthcare professional.
Yeah.
And, like, she's been immersed in diet culture for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, what, like, it's tough to cut out of. But the professionals, I'm like.
The biggest thing I recall this doctor saying that I was upset about, that we've kind of already hinted at, but she talked a lot about how once you stop the medications, the disease of obesity comes back, which that's what we've been saying the whole time. That's why we don't like this being used as a treatment for the disease of obesity. Because not only is it-
just like the dieting.
Exactly. So it's like these medications work so well, .. as long as you have a healthy lifestyle and you do it forever.
And then, like you had mentioned before, she even said, like, you need to make behavioral and lifestyle changes along
exactly.
with this.
Exactly.
So, like, is it actually the medication doing anything, or is it the lifestyle changes?
The medication is suppressing appetite, so it feels easier to make the lifestyle changes. Hmm. Yep.
Related to that, though, Oprah had mentioned how she uses her weight loss injection, refuses to drop the name, which our money's, I think it's Ozempic.
Yeah.
But in addition to her weight loss injection, she hikes/runs 3 to 5 miles a day, incorporates resistance training, and quote unquote eats a healthy diet to quote unquote balance everything out. So, like, that's a lot of activity for the average person.
That's a lot of exercise. Like, not everyone is able to do that much.
Yeah. Also, Oprah's a billionaire. I've been waiting to bring this up because I think it's very important to know her financial privileges, like the types of food. I bet, like, she could have, like, a chef if she wants, who's preparing all of her food.
I guarantee she has, like, someone making her meals for her.
At this point in her life, like, how much is she actually working? Like, is she working a 9 to 5? No, she's not. She's a billionaire. She doesn't need to work. But here she is doing a weight loss special. Anyway.
Right. This is a disease, epidemic that must be taken down by Oprah.
Yes, she must lead the way and break off her relationship with Weight Watchers because of it. I'm excited to talk about that later.
Yeah,
TBD. But I just think it was so interesting to mention, like Oprah and this doctor are talking about behavioral changes need to be made too. And that's like, it's being advertised as just take the medication.
Right. Like, it's true that if you take the medication and don't make changes, nothing's going to happen. It's not like a magic thing. But like, that's, like you said, it's not what's being advertised. It's kind of like you take Ozempic and boom, you're thin and life is good. There's rainbows now and the sun is shining all the time.
Very misleading.
We also discussed, I actually just thought of this. We discussed in our Ozempic episode, which we should link that to. Ozempic.
Which one?
Ozempic.
Oh, like, we keep talking about Ozempic. We're not even going to link it.
I know.
How dare we?
Side effects. Like,
yeah.
This is barely talked about in the special. Also, I'm going to say this now. There is not a single discussion of disordered eating or eating disorders.
There's not a single discussion of in sight. A therapist.
Or therapy. Yep.
Those are the two that I was like, we're going to talk about food and weight loss, and there's not going to be a dietitian or therapist involved.
Just the obesity certified docs. They know it all. They actually, I guarantee you, they prescribe calorie recommendations, protein goals, all of that. Shoot, where was I going with that? Oh, side effects. We mentioned this in the Ozempic podcast episode too, of course, but not everyone has them super severe, but they can be terrible. I've worked with so many patients on these injectables and the side effects are like not to be truffled with. Sounds miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we talk about that more in the other episode and risks and all of that, but that isn't discussed really much either in this. There's so many side effects that are
and
like,
and when it
intense.
Does get discussed, like they kind of gaslight the group.
Yes, Oprah, like, okay, we'll get there. Yes.
We're going to get there, but I was like a little shook.
I know. Well,
let's talk about our next guest.
I was going to say, this I was even more shook.
Probably the worst one. We have poor innocent Maggie, 16 years old, who was put on
Victoza.
I was like, I wrote it down wrong.
No, you got it right. You got it right.
And my initial thoughts. So like, in the grand scheme of things, she was gaining a lot of weight as a child. Her family was sending her to obesity camps to lose weight. And then she was put on medication to lose weight, essentially, and suppress her appetite. My first thought was like, imagine looking back at this and seeing your mom say, quote, something wasn't right with her. She shouldn't eat that much.
Once again, it's the generational dieting. So her mom's also mm-hmm. on meds, does not like the way her body looks. And so her mom is just like portraying that onto her daughter.
Wait, we also have a generational
dieting. I was just thinking, don't forget to add Brenna to the list.
We have so many episodes.
We also have the childhood obesity one too with the AAP guidelines.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you guys are in for a treat.
We've discussed this so many times. It's like, it's not going away. It's very frustrating. No.
But just like, yes, it's like the mom says these things, but like, it's a result of like, the mom was being shamed her entire life. So now she's just like projecting. Unfortunately, like the child is going to have trauma from this. We talk about childhood trauma all the time. This is going to have an impact on her mental health for sure. And it's like a result of diet culture and the diet industry and like a systematic issue that is affecting everyone.
Yeah. Her mom says something along the lines of like, this is way too much food for a child her age to be eating. Says who? Like, we have such a messed up perception of what the right amount of food is. We are always like, especially females and young girls,
mm-hmm.
eat as little as possible. If you're eating more than your friends, doing something wrong, there's just no way to know. Maybe she was eating more than mom thinks she should. I mean, obviously she wasn't anymore, but mom thinks that she should. Maybe she was eating past fullness regularly. I don't know. But it's, as a dietitian, I am very wary of if she actually was eating too much or if mom just thought she was, because mom has been trying to eat as little as possible for so long.
Yeah. And especially with the age range she's in peak eating disorder risk.
Mm-hmm. With a bunch of bullies at school, like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she had bariatric surgery at age 13. Mom said, seeing my child wheeled into the OR, I was wondering if I was doing the right thing.
We also have a bariatric surgery.
Yep.
Okay, sorry, continue.
Okay, yeah, so mom says, I was seeing my child wheeled into the OR and I was wondering if I was doing the right thing. And I wanted to note that it probably actually was really hard to like raise a daughter in a larger body because people are so freaking mean.
And I bet like other parents were saying things to her.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure like getting the surgery was, they were shamed for doing that. Shamed for probably not doing it by others. You just can't win.
No.
So she had the surgery at 13. She's 16 now. And when she's on this special with Oprah, she's currently on Victoza. And I gotta say it, if the surgery works, which we discussed with Kirsten, why do we need weight loss meds if it works so well? If it's the gold standard?
A very good question.
Anyway, listen to that one if you want to hear more about our thoughts on bariatric surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And also the childhood obesity guidelines, we discussed it there too, because that has been recommended, is surgery for kids.
As they're growing.
Their stomach. Yeah.
But then, I don't know the mom's name. I like, I don't
sorry,
know
mom. We have, Maggie's the star here.
Maggie. Sorry, Maggie's mom. But the mom was talking about then how Maggie's life improved so much when she lost weight. This is similar to what we heard with Amy. People were treating her nicer. Her friends were saying how pretty she looked at prom. And then they were talking about how the mom was talking about how she couldn't find like Maggie a dress for prom. So I'm wondering the timeline of this. Like the bariatric surgery was in when she was 13. She's 16 now. She's going to prom already at 16.
Dang. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Oh my gosh. Not important.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, I remember at some point the mom was talking about how she couldn't, I don't know if it was prom specifically or just dances.
It may have been just like generally finding like clothes. It was, yeah.
It was probably that then, but she like couldn't find her dresses. But like now Maggie is getting all these nice compliments and even Maggie's like sitting up on the stage. Like,
so yeah, she's going to prom now and everyone's like, oh, you look so pretty. This is so great. And it just stinks because, again, I'm glad she feels good. But was anyone asking her how she felt back then, first of all? Or just now that she's, like, thin and pretty, everyone's asking her how she's feeling. Also, it stinks that she felt she couldn't go to prom before. Although I know age probably played a role in that, too. But I'm willing to bet that she wouldn't have felt as comfortable and excited about going to prom if she was the same size now as she was back then. And then speaking of, like, finding clothes that fit, I can guarantee it'd be tough to find a dress that would fit you in a larger body. I mean, it's hard to find a dress that fits for prom and smaller bodies. Like, I guarantee it's nearly impossible for those in larger bodies. It sucks. Again, the issue was not Maggie's body. It is the people who made her feel like her body was the problem.
Yes.
Okay. This next one had me shaking in my boots. What this doctor told Maggie's mom.
I was really like, there's no way this is real.
I believe
actually
it.
There is a way. I know for a fact it's real, unfortunately.
I believe it so much. Okay, so the doctor said that Maggie's risk of obesity would cause, oh no, sorry. Okay, that's right. Maggie's mom was talking about how like your increase of diabetes and other diseases is higher when you have obesity. And Maggie's mom said that she was told by a healthcare professional that Maggie would be 500 pounds by the time she was 16 years old and that she was going to die if they did not do something about her weight. Fear-mongering at its finest. That is crazy. Yep.
I was literally shook.
Shooketh. And like, I don't know how old Maggie was when she heard this, but like, imagine if she did. Like, what are the implications of that? Like, yeah, maybe she will get diabetes. I don't know. We don't know her family history or any of the other conditions going on in her life. What about her eating disorder risk now that you just told her she's going to die at 16 because of her weight? That's also a deadly disease.
Yeah. I literally think about like the correlation between like suicidal ideation and eating disorder and like hearing this conversation, I'm so nervous for her mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? Who said that?
The sad thing is I fully believe it. Like, I know mm-hmm. that's true.
Yes. Unfortunately, because of the healthcare world we live in.
Yeah. I just can't imagine talking to a patient like that. Like, as a professional myself,
you're going to die. Your daughter is going to die because she's going to gain 200 more pounds based off of, I said she's going to die.
Right. Like, you have no data to back that up.
No.
You have what her body looks like, and that's literally it. That's all you know about this person.
Also, there are people that are 500 pounds and aren't dead. So like, what are we, where is the science? What is happening?
People who are that size and don't have diabetes, don't have heart problems.
Nope.
They're just existing.
No food chatter. They're so healthy. Yeah. Ugh. Okay.
So crazy.
Let's talk about the next one. Cause I think this is a very good point. Cause like Maggie's mom is in a tough position. Like she's hearing a lot of, like, people are very critical of moms in general.
Yeah.
And she talks about the criticism to putting a minor on weight loss medications. And her quote is, walk a mile in our shoes. She continues to talk about obesity as a disease. No one mentions eating disorder risk. And no one also like mentions like long-term research.
Mm-mm.
There is a mention later about research, but it's not long-term.
Yeah.
So, and no mention of a dietitian or a therapist.
Nowhere in sight. Just these anecdotal stories and some doctors who are so biased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mom's got her own issue. She's also on Victoza. She's also used Wegovy and Zepbound in the past. Insurance issues are the reasons why she had to change, which is bringing up the whole point of accessibility to these medications also being a problem. I'm sure it's hard for the mom and Maggie, of course, too. But it's hard to blame the mom for like having her daughter do the surgery and take these meds when, once again, of course, Maggie was like probably being bullied and probably felt
like you want to
was declining.
You want to protect your kid.
Exactly. And you feel like that's the best way you can.
Yeah.
Especially if you're told by your doctor that she's going to die if you don't.
We also mentioned we have a motherhood episode as well.
Oh my God. Clear your afternoon. You got a lot of catching up to do.
It's like at least 7 episodes you guys need to listen to. yeah.
It was also tough. We didn't mention, speaking of diabetes, we also have Danielle's diabetes episode.
We have so many fun things in store for you.
We are our own niche.
You know what we should do? I think you actually already do this on the YouTube channel. Another reason to subscribe to the YouTube is like if you start here, watch all of these episodes. It's kind of like that. But I think we have a playlist. We have playlists. So
yeah.
Watch on YouTube. So then you don't have to refer to all of our descriptions and be like, where am I? You can just go through all of them there. And then it kind of ends with Maggie just talking about how she's treated better now that she is thinner.
Yeah. It's kind of how it started out.
Yeah. Let's go to the next part.
Let's go to the audience.
This is where it gets juicy. These last two segments.
It was juicy now. Just you wait.
Yeah. We get our first like audience participation. And someone talks about how taking the medication, the weight loss injectable, changed their relationship with food.
This has been
so interesting to me. The language being utilized. And I feel like, because there is such an emphasis on like your relationship with food, work on your relationship with food, heal your relationship with food. Like it's like getting almost like abused. And this isn't on the person for abusing it. This is on the lingo being used by healthcare professionals in these weight loss spaces.
Yeah.
But we're talking about changing our relationship with food, and there's no mention of a dietitian or a therapist.
Like, those would be the people who can also help you achieve that without simultaneously shrinking yourself and body shaming you the whole time. And also, we have a higher chance of it being more sustainable because we're actually like doing the mental work of figuring out like why we feel about food the way that we have for the last few decades. Like, why do we eat past fullness all the time? Why do we feel like we only want to eat quote unquote junk food? Did we have the clean plate club growing up? How do we break free from that? Like, these are all things that a medication can't do for you. They're just going to suppress the appetite, quiet the food chatter. But then once you're off of it, that's going to come right back. And also you're going to be body shamed by your provider the whole time, most likely, especially if you're not losing. And they'll likely take the medication away from you or just give you more, but have more side effects. Or make you switch from like med to med to med, and you always have the worst side effects in the beginning. I've been seeing that a lot lately. It's like, oh, your side effects are unbearable with the Ozempic. Let's try the Wegovy. Oh, the side effects are bad with that. Let's try the Zepbound. And so your body is just like taking such a toll trying to find the right fit.
Oh, it's interesting.
I've seen it also, and I think I mentioned this earlier, I've seen medication prescribed for someone who has gastroparesis. A medication that decreases how quickly your body digests food is given to a person who already has delayed gastric emptying. Basically stopping their stomach from working. Like the food just doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. But at least they're not fat.
It's crazy. Let's talk about the Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers.
This is where I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so if you guys don't follow the stocks, and who's on the
board? Do you follow the stocks?
No. But this isn't our realm of no, so I do know this.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oprah stepped down from like the board of directors on Weight Watchers. And she says, Oprah says it's because she doesn't want any conflict of interests for this weight loss special. I do not buy that for a second. This 45, 50 minute video, you're stepping down. No, Oprah, you are taking a weight loss med and you clearly invested in whatever that weight loss medication is. You are jumping ship because Weight Watchers has been on the decline for a while.
Didn't work for you. Like, you are still struggling with your weight, you say. And so you're on this med now.
Yep.
I didn't think about her having financial ties to the injectable. I was kind of wondering, like, what's the conflict of interest here? I get it now.
I would put literally all of my savings on this. I'm so confident. And it's all based off the fact she's a billionaire. That she exploits people for money and just cares about money. Because there's no ethical billionaires in our world. But she says she's on good terms with Weight Watchers. To the CEO of Weight Watchers' face. What was interesting to me is she brought up like Amy. She brought up Maggie and Maggie's mom. She brought up both the doctors. That one audience member was two audience members very clearly. We didn't even get to the other one yet. Oh my gosh, there's so many other people. I forgot all these other people.
So many.
I thought we ended with Weight Watchers. I forgot. I clearly removed this from my brain. But she doesn't bring the CEO of Weight Watchers up, which is interesting to me. I think
you sit in your seat, I'll stand over you.
Yep. And control the conversation. On a higher platform, we will not be in the same level. I will not give you the same level of attention as the other people. Ooh. I think there was a lot said there. I think there's a lot said. But essentially, Oprah asks a juicy question, which is, I'm like, this is the one good thing she has done. She's, Weight Watchers has recently started investing in weight loss medications. And Oprah essentially asks, like, why? And the CEO mentions they were missing the quote unquote biology component.
As if they were doing so great with the psychological and what other components are there? Like,
yeah,
as if their other components were something to rave about. Like, no, your program doesn't work in any components. That's why you have to add these medications or feel like you do.
We also have a Weight Watchers episode.
Oh my God.
Everything we've been doing has been preparing us for this
episode. Hey, you're so right. I felt so prepared for this episode today. I'm like, I know exactly what I want to say. I feel good. And this is great.
And we have 10 plus videos to back up everything we're saying.
Our description is going to be so long. It's going to like max out the text, whatever, on YouTube.
They're going to be like, what is this?
Delete some of these. Yeah. But the CEO of Weight Watchers also mentioned releasing the shame is the theme of the episode today. Release the shame, but do pursue weight loss though, because your body's a problem.
Yes.
And use our program and our medications to do it.
So we can make more money.
Exactly. No shame though.
No shame.
Which Oprah eventually does say something like that. She's like, if you're happy in your larger body, go you, or something like that.
She did say that. Like, I think it was like one of the last sentences.
But it was so, I don't know. It was icky how she said it. I felt like it was not sincere.
The way she made it sound, it was like, I can't believe you actually mean that, but good for you.
Yeah. Because she never has felt that. She's never felt confident in her larger body.
No.
And so I'm sure it's hard to believe that anyone could feel that way.
Yeah. Let's talk about our next guest, but like not really a guest. She didn't get to sit. she was like a recording. I think they showed. But
then wasn't she there for like a second though in the audience too?
Oh, was she?
I can't remember, but she was very brief regardless of how she was there.
I remember seeing one video recording and I'm like, okay, that was fun, I guess.
And of course, she's the first nutrition professional in any capacity. She has her master's in nutrition, evidently. And she's also an OBGYN and has the obesity medicines, you know, specialization or whatever. And her biggest thing was she talked a lot about how sort of like the, what's it called? Like the, I guess, pros and cons of treating the disease of obesity. She's like, if you don't treat it, there's going to be risks. There's risks to treating it, like the side effects and such. Although she then mentioned that the meds have rare, insignificant side effects. And I put in the notes, oh, hell no. My patients are like shitting their brains out, vomiting, nausea, literally not eating all day long for days on end.
Yep.
But sure, that's rare and insignificant. I think the issue is they view these side effects as insignificant because they're not eating, which is what they want. So it's like a win.
Like, great. You're losing weight.
Job is done. Yeah. So yeah, she was mostly like risk analysis. That's what I was trying to say. That was kind of like her role here, I think.
Yes. Yes. That was like all she really brought to the table. Nothing about nutrition, despite dropping that she has a master's in nutrition.
Which honestly, I was kind of glad. I was like, I don't need to hear that.
That's true. I was like, at first I was like, oh, and I'm like, it's probably for the best.
I don't need to hear about a calorie deficit today. Like,
no,
we all know.
Yeah. We have our next audience member, Rolanda. And she's someone who stopped weight loss medications because of nausea and vomiting. And she even saw blood. She was like throwing up blood.
Mm-hmm.
And this was juicy to me. Dr. Velasquez gets involved and starts talking. And like, Oprah's asking her, like, have you tried any other medications? And Rolanda's like, no, I've been hesitant to, because I don't know if you remember, I was throwing up blood. So I was like, this is not worth it. And Dr. Velasquez gets involved. She starts talking about how there isn't a history of long-term chronic conditions in the data, but there is data that's 20 plus years old, but that's with diabetes management. And mm-hmm. she doesn't say that and not weight loss, but like she talks about how it's with diabetes management with these medications. That's where the history, the research is. And it was very interesting because, like, it was very much giving, like, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss vibes. And she was like, you gave up. Like, there is no research, essentially, that shows, like, the short term is detrimental. And you should try again.
And I like how they said, if the patient has a risk factor, like gastroparesis, we're not going to prescribe the medication. Literally not true. I've seen so many cases, anecdotally, of course, of this happening, where a patient is clearly not a good fit for this med. Also, once again, eating disorder risk. They're not screening for disordered eating or eating disorders before starting the medications. That is not something that has to be done. I think it should. I think that should be like the first thing you have to screen for.
Yes. 100%.
Like with the gastroparesis or probably even an eating disorder, these obesity specialists are just viewing obesity as being riskier than any of those other conditions. So it's like, we might as well treat the obesity, the biggest issue at hand here, clearly.
Yes.
Oh, your stomach stops working? That's fine, as long as you are not fat.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Oh, you're throwing up blood? Are you losing weight though?
Good. That blood held extra weight.
Yeah. Those red blood cells were heavy.
Oh, man.
Okay. More tea. We then get the pharmaceutical reps from Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, who produce various of the injectables. I forget who does what, but one of them produces a few and then the other one produces the other ones because there's so many now.
I know.
And they talked a lot about the access, which I was interested that that was brought up, although not surprised because that's talked about a lot on TikTok once again. And I feel like, isn't this where Oprah kind of mentioned TikTok again? She was like, it's becoming trendy. Yes. What are your thoughts on this?
That's like us saying like, it's a super junior, like metformin. Everyone's taking metformin now for their depression. You can also take metformin for your depression. Like, this is a prescribed medication.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. And they're like, mention, and Oprah's feeding into the TikTok phenomenon.
I know.
Does the government know? Does she know the government is trying to ban TikTok? Are they going to come after her because of this? Because she's like, yes. TikTok is good because they're promoting weight loss meds.
She also kept like talking about those two being in the room together for the first time ever because they're like competing companies.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you trying to like put them against each other?
I also like feel like they probably both at a conference. Like, if you're doing
in the obesity epidemic space, like they're all fighting the good fight, they think. So I'm sure they're getting along just fine.
So dramatic. Like, you would have thought she like ended a war.
I brought Nigel and Rhonda together. There's now peace in the weight loss industry.
We can Oprah's all stop fighting. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Were those our last ones?
I think those are our last ones.
Oh, wow. That was the roller coaster.
I know.
I watched this while I had the flu, and Emily told me, don't do it because you'll just get sicker, and she was correct.
It was a rough watch. A very rough watch. But thankfully, you guys don't have to do it now. You just listen to this. You
just heard us bitch and moan about it instead for an hour.
Yeah. So all in all, like, she was just playing all the sides, but none of the sides, but like also like, lose weight, your life will be better. That was the end message. Yeah, even though she was weirdly saying those, like, if you can find peace in living in a larger body, good for you. It came off very sarcastic.
It really did. And just so ingenuine.
Yes.
It was weird. And then again, I wanted to point out that there was not a dietitian or anyone eating disorder related in sight. That's not being tested for or screened for before these are prescribed.
No.
I wanted to point out my history of working in weight loss because I felt really thankful for it while watching this. because I've seen all of this firsthand, like over and over and over again. And so I can just spot the bullshit so easily. It's helped me so much. Like,
despite your trauma,
my trauma is there. I'm exhausted and jaded at the age of 27. I've been practicing for what, like 4 years, and I'm not okay. No. But at times like this, I feel really thankful for it because
I
know all the meds. I know what they do, the side effects, who's getting them. I'm very on trend there, which again, shouldn't be a trend, but it is.
Yes.
And it's just like really helped me be able to, again, like spot the bullshit and hopefully help you do the same, our listeners, because I know it's not always easy to spot it. Like if I didn't have this background, I'd be so much more quick to believe these things. Like I remember taking, when was it, like 2-3 years ago? I did like the certificate of obesity medicine through our academy. I soaked up every word they said about like the different types of obesity and ghrelin and leptin and how those are all impacted and how these medications help us make sure that our ghrelin's not going too crazy. I wasn't even questioning any of it and how fat phobic all of it was too. But now I like, if I were to take that certificate again, which obviously I never would, I hope it expired by now, so I don't have my name tied to that anywhere. I'm thankful now I can spot these things a mile away.
That is a very nice benefit, unfortunately for you, that you had to go for that. But we get to reap the benefits now. And we have an expert on the inside.
Yeah, sadly. So when we talk about Roe, more weight loss meds, I've got lots to say.
Yes. But you'll have to wait for that. But in the meantime, you have like 10 episodes you can listen to.
I'm so sorry.
Like, one episode a day. Or if like you want to do like, I don't know who's having like a 40-minute drive, like an episode there, episode back. You can do it during your lunch, do half an episode to work, half an episode during lunch, half an episode driving home. And then your nightcap will be winding down with the other half, and then you'll have listened to all of the episodes by the time.
Oh my God.
And you were
hopefully you've been a long-term listener and just have already heard all those. That's best case scenario for all of us.
Yes.
But I do like that plan. I like that schedule. Make a schedule. put us in your Google calendar.
Yeah. Listen to the Ozempic craze on April 2nd. I don't even know if this will be out by then.
I think so. I don't even know.
But yeah, there's plenty of other resources to listen to. Or if you want to revisit them for the drama.
We spill the tea.
That's also fun. If you want to see us upset and distressed, go do that. Listen to the bonus content so we can keep producing episodes and putting ourselves through this.
We're not okay.
Not well, but we're going to go to the bonus question now. Listen, subscribe to the YouTube, give us 5 stars on every single platform or else we will become weight loss medication pushers.
Whoa, how dare you? I was going to say it would become our worst version of our Enneagrams. And Emily's a murderer if she goes rogue, so watch out. For legal reasons, I am not promoting Emily murdering people.
Also, we would never turn to weight loss medications because one, that sounds sale reppy, and both of us would hate that.
I would be the worst salesman in the world. The worst. We always talk about this. I couldn't be president or a salesman.
Yeah.
Nope. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.